This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
All right, everyone, welcome to this week's edition of the New Japan Purocast, your weekly audio source for all things in the world of New Japan Pro Wrestling. My name is Colin Miller, being joined alongside, as always, by Mr. Damon McDonald. And at the time that we are recording this, it is Sunday morning, February 19th. And Damon, we have got a fun show planned for our listeners today. A lot of upcoming cards to review. We've got the Togi Makabe 20th anniversary show coming up this Tuesday. We've got the two Honor Rising shows next week, and we thought we'd have a little fun and do some listener Q&A today. So we've got kind of a mixed bag, a potpourri, if you will, planned for today.
I love the smell of a potpourri, Colin.
Especially when it's in the bathroom, like in the basket.
You know what's a good investment, speaking of which?
What's that?
Are you familiar with the what's the spray? You know that spray? It's like you pre-spray the toilet before damage is done, and it supposedly stops the smell after the damage is done.
Really?
A poopery is what it's called. Poopery. That's what it's called. I kid you not. Come on, I'm not making it up. I swear to you.
I believe
it's
you.
It's called poopery. It's a quality product, Colin. May I say that I highly recommend it, and we should be sponsors because it definitely does the trick.
We should be doing live reads for poopery.
We really should. It really does work. You spray before you actually spray in the bowl, right? And then take care of what you got to take care of, and I kid you not. Listen, your fucking bathroom smells like, you know, potpourri at that point. So, you know, it's kind of like people know what you did. But yeah, it actually works. I kid you not. I recommend the product wholeheartedly. That's how we're starting this goddamn show, Colin.
Well,
with poopery talk.
I don't like people to know that I have natural bodily functions. So I try and hide that as best I can. So
I think we all do, but it's a quality product. It's a quality product.
I'm gonna email them and say, hey, you guys.
I swear to you, if you email them, I would give them my tales of woe with before product and after product. And I am I'm a huge fan of the product.
There you go. Damon McDonald, a fan of the poopery.
Yes. Again, if you guys only knew like how we lead into before Colin pushes the record button. Oh, the humor and the hijinks that ensue. I learned a lot about Colin.
Some of you may be disgusted if you heard this. Some of you may find it hilarious.
Maybe. It depends. But, my God, we were laughing so hard before we hit that record button. You learn a lot about a person. You learn a lot about a person.
You sure do.
It's almost a highlight of my week is the pre-show banter.
Half hour of pre-show banter.
Yeah. Yeah, and we just went off into this, like, just dark area that we will not discuss. But I tell you what, if anything, like, you know how, like, things get leaked all of a sudden? You know, things are getting leaked around here in this country a lot. If these tapes ever came out, oh, my Lord. We wouldn't be able to run for president, that's for sure.
No, or any elected office, for that matter.
Yeah, I mean, they're not bad. I mean, but they're just silliness. It's just, like, it's very sophomore. Very sophomore. You think the poopery conversation was very toned down with our sophomoric humor. All right, Colin, we do a pro wrestling show. What are we doing here?
We certainly do. Well, we have a lot of cards to review, but before we get into that, as well as our listener Q&A, which is always fun. We haven't done that in a while.
I do enjoy that.
I think some congratulations are in order to Big Mike.
Oh, Big Mike.
Yeah.
Oh, Big Mike. Big what? What?
No, Big Damon. Big Mike. Big okay. Mike, because I think that this was his first five-star match awarded by the Observer, if I'm not mistaken.
That is correct. His first and well-deserved. I didn't think he was – we didn't give it the five, did we? We gave it we gave it the old ass hair.
Yeah, we were kind of on the fence. I gave it somewhere in the area of 4.5, 4.75. But, hey, if you thought that was a five-star match, and Meltzer certainly did, I'm not going to argue with that point.
I said it at the time. I said, you know, if you think it's a five, then, you know, more power to you. It was a fantastic match. Yeah, it was his first five. He was pretty happy with that. He was pretty happy with that. I think people in this day and age are quick to dismiss how important that is to, I wouldn't even go, I'd go so far as to say a promotion. But I think even individually, when an individual hears word or sees word that they got the five from Big Dave, it's a very, important thing. Dave is not just some guy sitting in his goddamn basement. You know what I mean? Like, he talks to more people in this business that really know what a five-star match is and really know what that entails.
He's been doing this a long time.
Yeah, and again, not just like us where we just get together and yammer into a microphone. Like, he's talking to people in the business. And he's, you know, and again, he's probably has watched more pro wrestling than just about anyone. I mean, everybody likes to bust his balls now. You know, oh, you're not watching Big Japan. Oh, you're not watching Basara. No, he's
not watching 666.
Right. But listen, the guy has watched more pro wrestling than just about anyone. And I think he has a firm grasp of what it is. And you know, the old line of, well, it's his opinion. It's his opinion. Come on. There's, you know what it is? It's like those people. I'm going to give you a terrible music analogy, Colin. Can I give you a terrible music analogy?
I love your terrible music analogies.
Let me give you a terrible music analogy. It's like somebody saying, like, okay, you ever hear the band Psychedelic Furs?
Yeah.
Okay, they did the song Pretty in Pink, right? They have an album. I think it's Talk, Talk, Talk. I forget which one it is. Whatever. I don't know which one it is. But it's a great fucking album from front to back. Great album, right? Even though I like the album a lot, I am not going to be as silly and say, just because I like it a lot and I could play it every day and not get sick of it, or even a better one, Duran Duran's Rio. Duran Duran Rio is a fantastic fucking album. From every song is great. Every song is great, in my opinion, right? But I'm not going to go so far as to say Duran Duran's Rio is as great an album as the Beatles' Revolver. You know what I mean? Like, that would just be ridiculous for me to say. Just because I like Duran Duran a lot, and I like Rio, and I like Hungry Like the Wolf, and I like Lone Union Nightmare, and I think New Religion's a great song. But just for me to say, it's like, it's right up there with Let It Bleed, right? Or, you know, whatever. But name a great album. It would be silly for me to say. And that's where people get off on. Where opinions, like, if I saw somebody say something, I liked Ultimate Warrior matches, and the 6-year-old me really marked out over those Ultimate Warrior matches. So in my mind, they're 5 stars or they're 4 stars. I'm like, that's not what this is. That's not what the stars are about.
Hey, I love Warrior versus Hogan from WrestleMania in Canada. Like, I love that match, but I'm not going to be as brash as to say that was like anywhere even right. in the ballpark of 4.
Right. There's like a standard, right, that we're using these stars for.
Sure.
And again, when people like us throw out these silly rankings, and this is, again, why I hate do it, but we do it. I think we do it more of as, this was a great match. You need to see it. And, you know, when we get into like 4 1/4 and all that horseshit, we're kind of putting an exclamation point on, you need to see this match. Now, we could sit here and say, just go see this match and scream into a microphone like I'm doing now. We could do that, right? But I think people speak the language of stars here, right? This is where we – like, do they do – like, they obviously do stars for music – you know, when a new album, do they still call them albums still, right, Colin?
Yeah, they're still albums. I call them records because I'm kind of old school like that. But yeah, Rolling Stone will still do stars.
Q, NME does it. Yes, of course.
Movies still get stars.
Anything else? Do video games get stars?
You know what? They probably do. I'm not a big gamer, but I'm sure they do.
Okay. I think books. I've seen books with the stars. All right. So, again, so we're just trying to kind of give you an idea of that. But when Dave gives a star, I think it holds a lot more fucking weight than my stars, right? Again, I guess this whole rant, for a lack of a better word, it's kind of like, man, why is it the cool thing to shit on Dave Meltzer? I don't get that. I really don't understand that. Huh.
Yeah, he's not just some bum off the street, you know?
He's not. I mean,
guy's been
not.
Around the block. He's the most respected pro wrestling journalist out there, in my opinion.
He's the only pro wrestling journalist out there. Let's be truthful. Who else is there?
Well, there's Damon McDonald. There's
I'm not a journalist.
There's Colin Miller.
Let me be perfectly clear. It's not like I put on my press fedora, right?
I took a journalism class in college, if that counts for anything.
I mean, me too.
I did good in it.
I did well. But, you know, I was on the my junior high newspaper.
Oh, look at you.
I was. You know what it was called?
The McDonald Press.
No, I wish. The Chippewa Chat. Look, isn't that terrible?
The Chippewa Chat. Are you of the Boston Dawsons? No, the Chippewa Falls Dawsons, actually.
Oh, listen to you.
There's a Titanic reference there.
What is it?
Titanic.
I didn't see Titanic.
Really?
Nah. Why would I watch Titanic?
I don't want to get off on that.
I know. This is just going to be one of those shows where we're going to go rambling, I think, as if we did. Okay, we've covered poop. And we've covered Meltzer's stars and what we think of that.
Well, really, really, really quick before we get into previewing some of these upcoming cards, you and I were texting earlier, as we do during the week, about the pro graps. And we were saying, hey, we are only midway into February 2017. And look how many Match of the Year candidates we've seen from New Japan Pro Wrestling. And let's count them out really quick here from our perspective. So, Wrestle Kingdom, we have four Match of the Year candidates. We've got Takahashi and Kushida. I think you can say that's a Match of the Year candidate. We've got
Goto and Shibata.
We've got Tanahashi and Naito. And it goes without saying, Omega versus Okada.
Right. We got the second half of Wrestle Kingdom, basically.
Yeah, there's four matches right off the bat, Match of the Year candidates. Then we enter February, and we have got Dragon Lee versus Takahashi.
Yep.
We've got
Okada Suzuki.
And, what we just got done talking about, Elgin versus Naito. So that's seven Match of the Year candidates, and we're not even done with February yet.
Yeah.
Name any other promotion.
You can't. Colin, you can't. And you know, we were talking a little bit about, before we hit record, we really should have hit record a half an hour earlier. This would have been a podcast of the year.
I would have had to edit a lot, though.
Probably. We were talking, so Colin periodically throughout the week would hit me up with questions about All Japan specifically. Again, the great resource that is the Classic Wrestling Board's All Japan Archive. The great job that they do there. I mean, just unbelievable. And seeing all these matches in order, pretty fun stuff. But we were talking about this, and this is something I think we should pose to our listeners, if you don't mind, Colin, because
absolutely.
you're the one fielding the traffic.
Mm-hmm.
Is, you know, we talked about the four stars and the five stars and Meltzer ratings and our ratings and everyone's ratings. And does a 4.5 star match hold up, like a 93, a 92? Does that hold up to a 4.5 star match today? Does a 5 star match hold up to a 5 star match today? And I pose this question because Colin and I, you know, I have some concerns when I recommend matches to Colin, because Colin's starting out at a very high base. Right? He's seeing some great pro wrestling.
I'm so starting out with like black tar heroin.
Right. He's not experimenting with alcohol first. He's going right into the hard stuff. So, you know, I kind of go in and I give him match recommendations, but I also give him disclaimers. Like, I'll be like, you got to watch 85 All Japan and watch the whole entire run with the Funks and Hanson and Brody and Ricky Choshu, who I like is my boyfriend at this point. I've watched so much. I'm obsessed with his entrance music. It's like 1982 synth pop. It is the greatest. You know, and him running amok against Tenryu and Jumbo and even the British Bulldogs when they were good, and we're still doing things. It's a really great time. It won promotion of the year in The Observer.
In 1985.
But I gave you a disclaimer, didn't I? I said, what's going to happen is that you're going to watch these matches and you're going to start to get into them. And then they're going to do this absolute mind exploding bullshit where they're going to just randomly throw somebody outside the ring and start brawling in the crowd. And then they're going to go to a 10 count or 20 count or whatever, you know, whatever. They're going to get counted out of the ring. Colin, How many matches did I watch this weekend? I'll put the number at 15. It was over 10, but I'll put it at 15. Colin, every single match was either a double disqualification or count out.
And this was all 80s All Japan matches.
Correct. Again, you're looking through this archive and you're like, Hanson and Brody against the Funks, or Hanson and Brody against Jumbo and Tenryu. And you're like, oh my God, this just got to be great. And you're watching it and you're getting into it. And then all of a sudden, they start fucking brawling in the crowd. And then you hear the bell ring and you're like, what the fuck? Like, I remember it being bad, and it was always like a running joke that they did this. They always, because they're protecting them, right? They don't want anybody to lose, and their thought process was, well, okay, nobody loses, everybody remains strong. Thank God that ended in the 90s.
And nobody gets over.
Right, but everybody was over. That's a weird thing, Colin. Like if you watch those crowds, they're packed. And these are same buildings that you'll see for New Japan now, and you'll see, you know, 1,500 people. There weren't 1,500 people in these buildings. These buildings had seats as far as you could see. And the fans were going nuts. Again, I could chalk it up to it just being a different time. Pro wrestling was certainly a more front and center product. It had TV that was, you know, not 2 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday. It had primetime TV. The specials were prime time. So it was a different time, mind you. But these fans were going berserko. So no, I can't even say that hurt them in people getting over, because people were over as fuck. I remember giving you this information and saying, hey, just be mindful that you're going to get into this and then they're going to pull the rug from under you. And again, if being a new fan, that's hard to swallow. If I'm you, Colin, and I'm watching this, I'm thinking, damn, you're out of your fucking mind. Right?
Yeah.
How do you put up with this shit? Because we bitch and moan about Bushi and The Mist. Imagine watching, you know, Choshu and I don't know. I'll pick a guy. Fucking Hamaguchi. against the Funk. And again, getting into it. And then, Colin, they had the World Tag League Finals in December in 85. Was it 84 or 85? It might have been 84. 84, I'll say. It was Jumbo and Tenryu against Brody and Hanson. It's the finals of the World Tag League, Colin. It ended. This is how the tournament was finished. This is how Jumbo and Jumbo Tsuruta and Tenryu won. Was a disqualification.
Could you imagine the bitching that would ensue if that happened in modern day New Japan?
Right. Imagine like seeing that. Imagine the best of the Super Juniors being decided on a disqualification.
I can't even fathom that.
Right. So it's hard for me to be like, oh, this was great and blah, 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 blah. And then you're like, well, yeah, that ended in a disqualification. Yeah, it's hard to do. So again, I'll ask you guys. And again, the people who have been in this game a long time, and even new listeners and new fans, and might go back into New Japan World or even the archives from the Classic Board. Do these matches hold up? Do these matches hold a candle to what is being presented today? And I'll ask you, Colin, in the limited amount that you've seen so far, and again, this is a limited sample size, are they holding a candle to what you see today?
Well, I told you before we started recording, last night I decided to start at 1991 in the All Japan archive.
And
I checked out a match between Kawada and Tao from January 1991. And I'll tell you what, it was a bloodbath, a lot of brawling in the crowd, a lot of stiff lariatos, I will say that. But compared to modern day New Japan, compared to I'm just throwing two random names out there, Okada versus Nakamura, ding ding ding, from the G1 finals 2014. maybe I just started off with the wrong match, but from the little that I've seen so far, it's very, I don't want to use the word tame. Mm. But let's say it's a little more primitive than what I'm used to. You know, I'm used to watching Tanahashi versus Okada, AJ versus Tanahashi.
Yeah. I mean, at the very least, could you find a guy that, like, you sat through a Nick Bockwinkel, Billy Robinson match? I don't know how you did it.
Well, I lasted about halfway through it before I fell asleep.
Right, that's not going to do anything for you.
And that was from 1980.
I mean, it's good to watch from a historical standpoint.
Sure,
I can't imagine you watching a night of that, spending your night doing that. That is not for you. But let me ask you this: kind of digging through the archives, can you find wrestlers that you connect with that you'd be like, oh, I want to check out more of his stuff?
I feel like I'm going to be a Kawada guy.
You are going to be a Kawada guy. Kawada is fucking great. Yes. Yeah, I could see that. I could definitely see that.
He just seems like a guy who is going to beat the shit out of you.
Yeah. Yeah, he is. He is. So again, I mean, if I'm going to give you a recommendation, like, stay away from the Baba matches. Right.
Oh, I started off with a Baba match. We talked about one on the show. It was Baba versus Destroyer, and this was pre All Japan.
Oh, you can't do that. Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's not. Yeah. You can't do that. You. And again, at the time, listen, everybody talks about how pro wrestling evolves, and it absolutely does. Because in 93, 94, when we're getting these tapes, you know, we're saying to ourselves, there's no way this is going to be topped. This is the ceiling. How could this be topped? And it gets topped. You know, we're living in an era where, you know, it's doing what we said it couldn't possibly happen. And Colin, when you get 40 and whatever pro wrestling evolves into, whatever that looks like from now, I'll be long in the fucking ground, I'm sure.
Oh, you don't know that.
Listen, I'm not doing myself any favors. Let's put it that way.
You might be intubated somewhere.
I'm going to be frozen.
Like Walt Disney.
Yeah. Going to need a lot of ice. You know, whatever that looks like, you know, you might be looking back and be like, wow, I couldn't believe they topped this 2016, 2015, 2014 New Japan stuff. Can't believe it. Can't believe that they're doing it.
Yeah, I mean, where do you go from Takahashi versus Dragon Lee? Like, where could you go?
That's what they've been saying forever. I mean, trust me, that's what they've been saying. I mean, that's what they said about the Midnight Express. You know, that's what they said about, you know, I'm sure they've said the same thing about Shawn Michaels and Kurt Hennig. Trust me, they've said the same thing about Liger. I mean, they said the same thing about Tiger Mask and Dynamite Kid.
Right.
You know, for everybody that talks about people who don't sell, those two guys, Sayama and Dynamite Kid, He didn't sell shit, right? That was 10 minutes of nobody selling nothing. And that was 82, 83. So, it does evolve, but I think the Kawada stuff, I'd still say, if you go for the singles matches, you're not going to be disappointed with the Kawadas, the Misawas, the Kobayashis. Even Steve Williams, I think, was great. I think Steve Williams and Terry Gordy, if you see matches with those two, those are great matches, tag-wise. Hansen, I think, was great. You watched a Hansen Kenta Kobashi match, and you were kind of like, okay, right? You didn't really dig it, did you?
Yeah, I remember telling you about that. As a matter of fact, last night I didn't finish it, but I started to watch Hansen versus Jumbo from 91 for the Triple Crown title.
Okay.
From the limited amount that I saw of the match, I wasn't blown away or anything.
Okay. Again, it wasn't Omega, Okada.
That's the problem. It's hard to, I hate to say this, go backwards in a way in quality.
I mean, you're into fours though, right?
For Hansen Saruda?
Yeah.
I've got to finish the entire match first.
Watch the match.
I was watching this late last night.
Yeah. You're kind of sleepy too. Get fresh eyes on that.
Yeah.
You're going to be the fours.
Well,
I'm
going to keep you updated, Damon, as I journey through this All Japan archive. And, it's kind of fun to go back and watch this era of Puroresu that is new to me.
Yeah. Listen, that's exciting, right? Everything is new. And I challenged some of our listeners, and again, kind of go into it as open as you possibly can. It's hard to do, but try it. See what you think, and see how it does compare. I'd be curious to hear. I think that there are lots of matches that hold up to what is being, especially from a New Japan perspective, it holds up very well. But I'd be curious to hear what people think. Again, if we're comparing golden ages, I think we're living in a golden age right now with New Japan, and I think the other time that you circle is that those 90s, All Japan stuff. And I'd love to see how they compare. Maybe there is no comparison. I don't know. But I'd be curious to hear what people have to say.
Well, speaking of New Japan, Damon, we are a New Japan podcast.
Yeah.
Lots of New Japan shows coming up. I'd like to preview some cards here. And the first one that we've got coming up is this Tuesday, February 21st. Of course, it is the Togi Makabe 20th anniversary show live from Korakuen Hall. And the main event for that is going to be GBH versus Ishii and Yano.
Can't say I'm totally pumped up, right? I can't say that I'm. Listen, I'm not waking up early in the morning for this show.
It's going to be a fun show, but again, nothing that you're going to wake up at the crack of dawn for.
For me, no. I will say that usually these themed type of shows are fun, right? They do. Usually there are some surprises, right? They're not bland. So again, even though on paper it doesn't look as sexy as some other shows might be, I let's put it this way: we will watch the show. I don't know if I'm super jazzed up over the main event. The one thing that I did see a comment of why Togi Makabe is having this type of special. And again, it seems to me it's a new fan that would make a comment of that ilk. Let me ask you this, being that we're talking about these shows.
Sure.
Give me a Togi Makabe memory. Like if somebody were to come up to you, Colin, and say, Togi Makabe, give me something that stands out in your mind of Togi Makabe, a match.
The main thing that stands out in my mind from Togi Makabe, all those matches that he had with Ishii. I mean, I don't think that he's ever had a better dance partner than him.
Yeah, him, like the Wrestle Kingdom, right?
Wrestle Kingdom 9.
2015. That was good. Real good. I would say between that match and he had a match with Okada at I want to say it was a Dominion show. That was outstanding. And that was like 2012? 13?
Somewhere in that neighborhood.
Somewhere in that neighborhood. That's one you got to go out of your way to watch if you haven't. If you're a new watcher of the product, New Japan World had a lot of these matches free, right? So you don't even need to pay. You just
you can log on there, and there's plenty of Togi Makabe matches you can check out for free.
Yeah, so I think that the Ishii one that you're referencing, the Wrestle Kingdom one, and that Dominion, and I something tells me that it is Dominion. I know it's Okada. Outstanding matches, right?
And how about his match with Ibushi from Destruction?
Yes, I agree. That was a very good match as well. That I had in my head as well as being one of those matches that stands out. Again, I just wanted to think of, okay, when I think of when I think of Makabe, what do I think of? And I'll tell you the other thing I think of. What G1 was it? And again, because I'm old and I don't remember things, where he had the broken jaw. Remember he was working with that broken jaw?
Was this from the past couple years?
Yeah, it was. I want to say it was like 2014.
Okay, so that would have been G1 25.
Okay, so he had a match, he had a match with Suzuki. Minoru Suzuki.
Yep, that would have been 24.
Where he was working on his jaw the entire match. Like punching him in the face. Right? I enjoyed that. I just remember him working that entire G1. And again, we're talking about a former heavyweight champion. We're talking about a former G1 winner. I just remember his 2004, if it's 14. I just remember that G1 where he was working with that broken jaw. He had a great match with Naito, if I'm not mistaken, in that G1. So he had three really great matches, Goto, Suzuki, and Naito in that G1. And then again, those two matches that we talked about, the one that you mentioned, the Wrestle Kingdom one, again, I want to say it was Dominion. I could be dead wrong. There might be somebody screaming at their fucking radio right now.
Probably Mackie.
Probably Mackie. Right? Well, we'll be surprised. Those are the matches that I think of for Togi Makabe. So if you're a new fan, go check them out. They're on World. They're free. And again, I don't think Togi Makabe is a world beater, right?
No, but again, look at all of the promotional material. You always see Makabe's face plastered on the posters and whatnot.
Well, I think for a casual Japanese audience, he's very recognizable. He's a recognizable face.
Yeah, and he's a celebrity over there.
Well, yeah, I mean, put that in air quotes. But yeah, I mean, I would say again, people recognize him from his whole sweets thing. As a matter of fact, I'm looking at I have a bag of treats, bag of delicious treats in front of me, Colin.
I bet you
Guess who's on the bag? Guess who's on the package? A Togi Makabe.
There you go.
Yeah. I'm dying to rip them open, but I want to keep it. Like, I want to hold on to it, so I don't want to ruin the packaging. But, yeah, he's got his own little line of delicious treats. Look like potato chips, but I think they're sweet. I don't know.
Are they sweet potato chips?
I don't know. I'm going to go grab the bag. Stay here, Colin. Hold the show down. I'm going to grab the bag. Hold on. It's all in Japanese.
So you can't read a damn thing.
I can't read a damn thing, but he's on the cover. They look like he's eating chips. They look like they are potato chips. Should I open them up and do a live unboxing? No.
You don't have to do that.
Good. Thank God, because I want to keep him. But yeah, he has his own little bag of Kalbe, C-A-L-B-E-E. Go look him up if you're in Japan. All right.
Point
being,
Togi Makabe is a recognizable figure in Japan.
Yeah, well, listen.
Beyond the realm of pro wrestling.
Listen, you get your face on a bag of chips, you're doing all right for yourself, right? Doing all right for yourself. All right, so there's Togi Makabe. What else is on this card?
Well, you want to go through the whole thing?
Yeah, why not? Let's do it.
We've got Hanare versus Oka, Young Lion match there.
Listen, we talk about the Young Lions and how they improve. Here's another example of where we can see this.
I love watching these two guys.
I like watching them all. I really do. I like watching them all. I think this is a real nice batch. And you made the point of they all have distinct qualities that kind of separate themselves, even though they're still in that, black boots, black trunks phase. They still all have a little difference between them all. So Yeah, I don't. In a singles match, yeah. Let's see what else they can do. Let's see some Boston Crabs, kids.
We've got Jado and Ghetto taking on Takemichi Noku and El Desperado.
Oh, you know what? I heard Despy got hurt, right?
He's still listed on the card, so yeah. I'm not sure.
But Meltzer said he was back.
Place.
Yeah.
Maybe he will be back.
Maybe. So, okay. So that might be a game time decision. That might be right up into the end to see where we stand with El Desperado. I'm not looking forward to that.
No.
I mean, seriously, because the highlight of that match, Colin, is him. And he's going to be working on a bum wheel. So he's not going to be doing much.
By the way, this is random. How do you feel about Jado and Ghetto in the June?
No, I don't care. I mean, I know people love them. I get it, and I understand why. I'm okay in 2017 to not have them in the ring. I'm perfectly okay with that.
So if they put them like in the junior tag tournament, you'd have a problem with that?
Well, I mean, they're there to lose, right?
Right, and you need people to lose.
You definitely do, and you can use them to protect other people.
And they're solid.
They are solid. I mean, listen, there's no doubt about that. Please don't take that the wrong way, that they're not solid. They absolutely are. They're pros. I mean, they're just, I don't know. You look at that junior division, and we got a lot of talent there. I wouldn't want them taking a spot over someone else. They won't, but yeah, if they're in there, they'll lose. Yeah, I guess I wouldn't have a problem with it. Who cares?
Next match, we have an 8-man tag featuring a team of Tiger Mask, Liger, Yuji Nagata, Shibata, taking on Taichi, Kanemaru, Iizuka, and Minoru Suzuki.
I think there's good and bad in this match. I don't know. Maybe I'm more into it than not.
I think Suzuki Goon is going to get the win here. I'm going to say that we see either Tiger Mask or Liger taking the fall for their team.
Yeah, probably one of those two. That's probably one of those two.
I get the feeling that Suzuki versus Okada is not over.
No, I don't think it is. I mean, and I'm not saying it's going to headline like a major show, but I don't think it's over. And here's the thing: you could do that on a smaller big show. You know, if that makes sense, a smaller big show,
like this New Genesis show in April. Could you do it then?
Yeah, you could. It's April. The year is still early. We still have plenty of time to do other things with other people that I think people are a little bit more excited over. Right. But again, we're not even through February yet. So we do have time. If we wanted to do that, I wouldn't have a problem with it. I think we got one more match we're going to squeeze out of Okada and Suzuki. I think that's a safe statement, right?
Right, and I think that April is a good time to do it. I think that we should do it sooner rather than later because,
yeah.
Quite frankly, we've got bigger fish to fry as we get further into 2017.
Yeah, and again, I think everybody acknowledges that. I don't think anybody's shying away from that. I mean, really, you got two ways you can go. I mean, you still have to do Omega and Okada too, right? I think that's a given. But you also have Naito kind of sitting in the background too. Now, he's got the Intercontinental title, mind you. But I still really think that at the end of the day, that's really where their big money is, right?
Absolutely. I think people look at Naito as the current MVP of New Japan.
Well, right now, we are all over the place.
And I can't argue with that.
I got to go Okada.
You're going to, okay. I wouldn't argue with that either.
I mean, again, we're talking about MVPs here on the 19th of February.
Well, I guess it's a matter of who is at the helm of this ship. Who's steering it right now?
Okada, I think, right?
I see.
You think Naito?
I see Naito with the wheel.
I think Naito is hot.
And an eye patch.
We're going to Bermuda again. I think he's got the energy and the buzz, but I still think Okada is, you know, the torch has a torch has not been passed, nor should it be necessarily long term. I don't know. I don't know what I feel about that. That's an even better question.
Yeah, it's just something to ponder in your mind.
Because Okada is not like some 45-year-old guy.
He's 29.
Yeah, I know. And what's amazing is people just want to push him out the fucking door. I don't get that. But okay. Anyway, getting back to the original point was, I think that that's where we're headed, right? Eventually. The end game here is Okada Naito, right?
Well, one of the let's save that for the Q&A segment, actually, because we do have a question there asking about Wrestle Kingdom. So let's save that. Let's put that on the back burner. Move on here on this Togi Makabe card. We have a 10-man tag featuring Finley, Taguchi, Kushida, Juice Robinson, and Tanahashi taking on LIJ.
Finley.
Yeah, Finley.
Think he's going to be back?
I don't know. Again, that's what the current card says on the official New Japan English website.
Imagine all the people buying tickets for David Finn. the false advertising that New Japan has done. I thought he was hurt worse than that. I'm kind of surprised that he would be even listed on the show. That's a head scratcher. Okay. So I'm sorry. Finley, when you said Finley, my head exploded.
Might not be Finley.
Could be Kawato,
for all we know.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it could go either way. Okay, so Finley / question mark. Who else?
Taguchi, Kushida, Juice, and Tanahashi.
Okay, all right. Not bad. And I'm gathering on the other side, we got some LIJs, right?
Yep, all of LIJ.
Okay. It should be good.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. This should be a solid match.
Again, I say it every week, but you know they know how to do those multi-man tag matches, LIJ at this point. And even the Juices and the Tanahashis and all those guys, it does feel like we see this a lot, don't we?
It does. It does. But it's not like they're stinkers.
They're not stinkers, again, but it's again, you can only have filet mignon so many times before you're looking at the waiter saying, filet mignon again?
Hey, I'll have filet mignon every night.
Okay. All right. Well, you're going to get it again tonight. You're going to get it again on this show. We do see this a lot. But again, they got it down. I think we're looking at a solid 3-star match. I just threw snowflakes.
Always with the snowflakes.
I know.
Next, we have a 6-man tag featuring the team of Nakanishi, Kojima, and Tenzan taking on Yoshihashi, Goto, and Okada. Look, if they want to use this match to build up Yoshihashi towards his big ROH title match that we're going to be talking about in a second, they could easily have Yoshihashi pin Nakanishi.
And who else is on this show?
So it's Nakanishi, Kojima, Tenzan versus Yoshihashi, Goto, and Okada.
I like your thinking. I mean, it makes sense.
It does make sense logically. If you want to use this show, you know, as a way to build for some future matches, why not?
Yeah, and I still think they need to do that a little bit with Yoshihashi. You know, remind people of where he is. Remind us of where he is.
Right.
Yeah, I like that idea, Con, a lot. Actually, I think it's a solid idea.
See,
solid job by you.
I should be co-booker.
You already are. You know what? No. Good stuff. No, I think that makes sense.
And the main event, of course, we discussed this earlier, GBH versus Ishii and Yano. Now, here's the thing. It doesn't say that this is for the IWGP tag titles, but I can't imagine that it wouldn't
non-title.
Be.
It's non-title.
That's a head-scratcher to me.
It's not a head-scratcher because guess who's winning on his anniversary show?
Well, Togi Makabe. So,
right.
What a way to cap it off, though, by him winning the IWGP tag titles.
Well, Colin, the IWGP tag titles are so prestigious at this point, they can't possibly do that. They would tarnish the 5-year run of this great tag team division by just flip-flopping the titles over to the guy and then having them lose it back. That would be insane of you to even think of.
Do I detect some sarcasm?
A little bit.
Okay.
No, that's why it's non-title. So
that makes no sense to me. What's the difference at this point? Like, like you said, they've been flip-flopped around so much. Just make this a title match. GBH could win it, and they could easily drop the titles again if you don't want the straps on them. They can drop them at, you know, whatever, the next show, yeah. A Corican show.
Well, maybe this – Colin, what this does, though, is that – okay, so it's a non-title match, right?
Right.
GBH gets the win, right?
Right.
What does that mean?
Well, they're the number one contenders, logically.
Yeah, we get it again.
See, I'm trying to prevent us from getting this match again, which is why I say just
no. Just let them win. This is exactly what this means. It means that we're seeing this again. Listen, I'm sure – I'm pretty confident in saying that we wouldn't have been in this scenario if Lance Archer didn't have his issues with his back, right? I think we would have KES.
They would be the tag champs currently, probably.
Right. I think that's a safe statement, right? Unfortunately, we had some issues that prevented those titles from flip-flopping. Not flip-flopping, flipping. No flop. So, yeah, we're booking on the fly now. We're going to plan B or plan C here. And, yeah, we're getting a lot of the same stuff with these tag divisions. And, you know, we'll put it on pause and we'll put it on hold for another couple of months until we figure out what the hell we're going to do with these belts. But it is what it is right now, Kyle. I hate to say it. I hate to use that phrase. It's one of my least favorite. But it is what it is. But yeah, I think that's what we're looking at. We're looking at the fans going home happy. We're looking at GBH getting a win, and then we're looking for new and exciting things back to the future, if you will.
You know what match I was watching the other night? I was watching Ishii versus Okada from this past year's G1.
And oh, I remember that.
Do you?
Well, I think so.
It was quite the match.
Yeah.
And after you get done watching that match, you just have this feeling of, man, this Tomohiro Ishii, this guy is one of the best fucking pro wrestlers in the world. I mean, he just beat the champ.
Where's his rematch?
Exactly.
Where the
That's
fuck
where
is
I'm going
rematch,
with this.
Colin?
Everybody else got a rematch. Everybody else who defeated Okada in the G1, except for Ishii.
Where the fuck is his rematch?
They've got to be saving this.
See it.
They've got to be.
Come on. Did this not happen? Was this just like, did we dream this happened?
No.
Did we dream we saw a 5-star?
I have video evidence on NJPWWorld.com of this happening.
Are you sure?
I'm positive.
Because I could have sworn that meant.
Unless this is like the Thunderbird photo. Look that one up, kids.
Call him a conspiracy theory. I'm very disappointed. It's now, again, February 19th. Where the fuck's my rematch? Come on. Christ.
Well, hopefully we get that at some point in 2017, because I'll tell you what, that was my favorite match from 2016. That's what I voted for as my number one.
Could they just sweep that under the carpet? New Japan is really strong on callback spots and remember this happened 6 months ago and having, you know, being a fan pays off, right?
Right.
Like, if you're a long-term fan, things pay off.
I mean, we're still thinking about the Ibushi Omega stuff.
Right. And that was just a quick glance. Are they going to sweep this under the carpet?
I think they might. I think they might, because if it doesn't happen by mid 2017, then
it ain't happening.
Yeah, right. We're not getting that rematch. But
right, where are you fitting it in?
Exactly.
Where are you fitting that match in? I mean, are we going to have to wait to like G1?
Unless they do that one at this Genesis show in April. But again, the Suzuki business isn't finished, so I don't know. I don't know how to book this one, man.
They got a G1. That's where you're going to see Ishii Okada.
Then it's not for the title.
No. But imagine if Ishii wins again.
That would be something.
And then
he doesn't get his title match again.
Right. Well, there you go. Now it's Ishii who turns on Okada. All right, we're fantasy booking now, and this is ridiculous. But, truth be told, Colin, I don't know where else we're going to do this match and how we're going to make that work with Chaos members. Why did you have Ishii win? There had to be a reason besides just the pure numbers of where they are in the tournament, and I need these guys to win to make it mathematically
maybe
work.
They just wanted a pop.
Maybe, Colin, but truth be told, I don't see. I really feel like they do things for a reason. Maybe I'm just being naive, but I feel like they do things for a reason. There had to be a reason. You couldn't have just had Okada win.
Well,
what would have been the damage of that? Flip-flop something. He loses to some. I don't know. But think of something. There's a reason why Ishii beat him. I'm really fucking pissed off now, Colin.
See, now you know how I felt after I rewatched that match and started thinking, like, what the hell?
They promised me a bike. They promised me jetpacks. Where the fuck are my jetpacks, Colin? Ugh.
In any case, that is your Togi Makabe 20th anniversary card. And now we move on to these Honor Rising shows, which are taking place Sunday, February 26th, and Monday, February 27th. So you want to quickly go through them, do a little preview? yeah,
sure,
exactly.
I guess.
You want to talk about the main matches on these cards?
No,
let's do that.
Let's go through it. Now, I want to hear this lineup. I really do. Because we would have got two shows.
Yeah, we have two shows next Sunday and Monday. So here we go. Six-man tag. Finley, Juice Robinson, and Kushida versus John Ogedo and Silas Young.
That was just literally, it was like they just pulled a name out of a hat for that last one.
Silas Young handed me my luggage. Fun fact.
Know. Yeah, he was. You mentioned he was grouchy on your plane.
He was in a surly mood, I'll tell you that much. That's no gimmick.
That was just a random name they just plopped out of there. Okay. Next, what else?
We have a never open weight six-man title shot here. We've got Tiger Mask, Jushin Liger, and Delirious challenging Bushi, Evil, and Sonata.
All right, if Delirious doesn't take the fall in this match.
I think we see a title change.
There's no way they could do that, right? I mean, listen, I get it. This is the never six-man belts, but even we have standards somewhat for that, right?
Liger pins Bushi. No, and truth be told, they're probably not going to do a title change here because I can't imagine.
I would love a title change.
It would be amazing. Hey,
I would love a title change right here. That'll never happen, right?
You never know.
Tell me that'll never happen.
You never know with these trios titles, Damon.
That's what I'm saying. They're meaningless, right? On a hand wavy show like this, they could do it, right? Come on, tell me they could do it.
They could do it.
Tell me they're gonna do it.
They're gonna do it. Yeah, the Tiger Mask, Jushin Liger, and Delirious are going to be your new Never Trios champs.
I mean, why the fuck not, right?
That's what these titles are for.
That would be fun.
It would be fun. And shouldn't these shows be fun?
These shows should be fun. Come on, guys. Let's do it. Let's fucking do it. I'm talking like we're like 20 and we're going to go down to the casinos. You know, it's
with our fake IDs.
It's 12:30 at night. We're half lit. Let's go to the fucking casinos. Come on.
I live close to a casino, so.
You do? Yeah, but they're not real casinos, are they?
Oh, the casino that I live close to is just as nice as any casino in Vegas I've been to.
Really?
Absolutely.
What do you live by? Sugar House? That's not the Sugar House.
No, it is the Sands Event Center.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Beautiful casino.
Is it nice?
Yep.
I haven't been up here.
Absolutely.
Come on, let's do it, Colin.
All right, let's do it, Dave. Let's switch these titles.
Just fucking switch them up. Let's do it. Let's do it. They're not going to do it.
How about an eight-man tag here? Osprey, right. Yoshihashi, Goto, and Okada versus G.O.D., Yujiro Takahashi, and Bad Luck Fale.
Oh, my fucking God. Yeah.
I know you're pumped for this one.
Oh. Wow.
I say Fale squashes Osprey with the bad luck fall.
Wowzers. I mean, whew,
why is this on
chaos.
Honor Rising? There's no ROH star involved here.
Yeah, no. It's a weird... Well, I mean, is Osprey an ROH star now?
Well, I guess it doesn't even matter at this point. The lines are so blurred.
It really is blurred. Man, that Chaos side is strong, and that Bullet Club side... There's no Hangman Page around there, is there?
No, Hangman Page, believe it or not. He's, I think
he's in the main event.
He's in the semi.
No, he's not. Really?
He's in the semi main event. Well, hey, hang tight. We're getting there.
Okay. All right. Well, that match, again, Chaos got their hands cut out for them.
Hey, this next match should be cool. Tag match, Hanson and Rowe versus the Young Bucks. That should be fun.
War Machine versus Young Bucks.
Yeah, how about it?
That's interesting.
That is interesting. And this is where they should be going with their tag division. Like, that's an interesting match, having a big, brawling, bruising team like War Machine taking on everybody's favorite kids, the Young Bucks.
Yeah. Yeah, that is interesting. I'm not going to lie. That is a... that should be fun.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
I hate using that term, but because I'm a grouch.
I can't think of any other adjective to describe that, really.
You know what that reminds me of? It reminds me of like a dynamic of like, I'm trying to think of like a big powerhouse team, but like, and this is a bad one in the sense of not really size wise, it's the same, but and honestly, the timing is weird with his passing recently of Ivan Koloff, but it reminds me of like Nikita and Ivan against the Rock and Rolls, right? It kind of reminds me of that kind of element, with, you know, you're just looking at power versus speed. And that's really what you're getting. You're looking at brute strength and size against speed. I'm looking forward to this one. I'm not going to lie. This one will have me looking forward to the show. Actually, you know, this show is not that bad, Colin. You know, we kind of went into it like, it's not that bad. There's some interesting things on it.
No,
some interesting things.
It's just the thing about these shows is that I don't feel that they have much bearing on the future of New Japan in 2017, and I don't particularly like shows where like what are the outcomes of the matches really mean going forward.
Right.
You know, when that's put into question, that's when I start to get a bit hand wavy. But with that being said, again, we're going to use this word again. These should be fun shows. So,
Well, listen, you got your GBH and Ishii and Yano story continuing, right? You excited for that?
Oh yeah, I'm just tickled pink for that. How about this 6-man tag? Actually, I can't wait for this one. We've got the team of Taguchi, Tanahashi, and Dalton Castle, one of my favorites, taking on Hiromu Takahashi, Tetsuya Naito, and Punisher Martinez.
Let me tell you something. That Punisher Martinez, he's getting a nice look. They're really looking at him like he's getting the Moose treatment.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, they needed a new Moose.
He needed a new Moose. He's going to Noah. He's doing a little Noah. Well, TNA and Noah have a little relationship going now.
We actually have a question about that.
Is that right? Yep. Oh, my goodness. Wow, we're covering all bases today. I guess they need a new Moose. They're gonna try and make a new Moose. Punisher Martinez. Wow.
I need a new Moose for my wall.
Really? Into the taxidermy area?
No, actually, no.
Neither am I. I can't imagine having a dead animal on your wall. I just don't understand that whole thing. But
me neither. But to each his own.
Yeah, what do I know? Interesting match. You like the Dalton Castle.
I love Dalton Castle. Let me tell you. This guy, he has got charisma out the yin-yang. I love the gimmick. I love the whole human peacock thing he's got going on. And I think he's a pretty damn good wrestler.
I think he's good. Yeah, I think he's good. He has that gimmick down. I will give him that. It's not necessarily my cup of tea.
Do you know that, and like, I never even realized this until, like, late last year. I saw Dalton Castle wrestle in Chikara at the King of Trios 2015, but it was under his other gimmick. What is it? Ashley Steele or something?
Dude, you know more about Dalton Castle than I do. I'm going to be honest with you. I think he's tailor-made for...
Ashley Remington. I'm sorry.
Ashley Remington?
Smooth sailing Ashley Remington. I saw him wrestle at the King of Trios.
Okay.
And it never occurred to me that was Dalton Castle.
That's funny. I wouldn't have known it either, which I'll be brutally honest with you. It's a weird match, isn't it? It's a weird match.
It is a weird match, but hey, that's what these shows are for. They're for weird matches. And here's another weird match for you.
Go ahead.
Shibata and Jay Lethal taking on Hangman Page
and
Cody. Not Cody Rhodes, just Cody in all caps.
I can't believe he can't use Rhodes. That's an embarrassment.
It really is.
It really is an embarrassment.
What's funny, though, is that the announcers are still calling him Cody Rhodes, but...
Yeah, I mean, why not? I mean, you could say words, can't you?
I guess.
I mean, you're not going to get... I mean, is a Japanese broadcast... you're talking a Japanese broadcast, right? Or you're talking English broadcast?
Even on the English broadcast, I've noticed that they still call him Cody Rhodes.
I don't know how copyright infringement goes if you say the... I don't know. Who knows? I'm not a lawyer.
Or they at least...
I don't even play one on TV.
I could see you playing a lawyer on TV.
No, I'd be the worst. I'd be like, I go fuck your self-defense.
They walk into your office, you're like in the middle of eating tacos.
Yeah, I could be one of those. I could see me more being the judge. You know how the judges are a little somewhat, you know, have a weight control problem.
A little more portly.
Yeah, I can see me. And plus, I'd be very comfortable under the robe, right? And I won't have to wear pants.
That's right.
I would be all about that. And then I would just be, order in the court. I would just love saying that. Banging on my gavel. I could do that.
You could wear a Burger King crown.
I would be a good judge. What are we talking about, this match? Jay Lethal and what?
And Shibata.
What the wow.
Versus Hangman Page and Cody.
Ugh.
Rhodes.
You heard what Adam Page said to me when I was in Japan?
Didn't he tell you to fuck off or something?
I think he said something like that.
He told you to go fuck yourself or fuck. Yeah. There was definitely an F-bomb thrown directed towards you.
Yeah. Terrible. Terrible language. It's funny because they always used, like, they showed, like, you know, in their video montages and their hype videos and shit, they would show a lot of that shot of me getting told to go fuck myself and Eric cracking up next to me. So there's a picture of him, just there's like a still frame of that. And Eric, he literally looks like a Muppet with his mouth open laughing so hard. And I'm just have this like disgusted look on my face. I don't give a shit about this match, Colin. How about you?
Not really, but I'm looking at this main event, and I'm kind of looking forward to this one. We've got the Briscoes versus Adam Cole and the returning Kenny Omega.
Could be good.
It could be very good. I mean, the Briscoes, you know, when they're in Japan, they always work their ass off. And
they're in the ring with somebody that the people care about.
Absolutely.
And Adam Cole.
Hey, look, as much as we give him shit, I think Adam Cole is still a good wrestler.
He's a good wrestler. Him and Kyle O'Reilly had a great match at one of these Ring of Honor shows. So, he's not one of my favorites, but he could definitely go in the ring. Should be a good match. This is Corkin Hall, right?
Yep, this is Corkin.
Briscoe's main event. Everybody in the ring's very talented. Briscoe's always bust their ass. Omega's return. Yeah, it should be good. I mean, you can't hand wave this. This should be good.
All right, moving on to night.
That's not a bad show. That's not a bad show, Colin.
No. So that's your Sunday, February 26th card. Now let's move on to Monday, February 27th. We have got a six-man tag here featuring Hanare, Finley, and Kushida versus Jado, Ghetto, and Silas Young.
What is that about?
So basically, this is the same match from the Sunday show. They are just swapping out Juice for Hanare, essentially.
That's a weird six-man tag. Jado and Ghetto and Silas Young.
It is strange.
It's a bit
peculiar.
Odd.
Well, I guess, I don't know. Silas Young has the whole grumpy gimmick going on. And
right.
I guess that kind of fits with Jado and Ghetto's kind of fuck you attitude. And I'm sure that they will utter those words during the course of the match.
I'm going to set the over-under number at 5.
5? Okay.
Will you hear 5 or less or more? More than 5 or less than 5?
I'm going to say 3.
You're going to say 3 fuck yous?
Yep.
I'm going to go over 5. I'm putting my money on the over.
Are we grouping all the F-bombs together? Like
Yeah.
All right.
Total F-bombs.
I'm going to say 3.
I'm going with the over. I'm taking the over 5.
Okay.
All right. $2,000, right?
How about $2?
Oh, okay, fine.
Got to pay the rent here, pal. 10-man tag featuring the team of Taguchi, Tiger Mask, Liger, Dalton Castle, and Delirious. Possibly, you know, your trios champs in this match.
Oh, boy.
Taking on LIJ. It should be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I want to see Dalton Castle's interactions with Naito or even Takahashi. I think we're in store for some comedy gold here.
Yeah, I think you're going to see a lot of poses, a lot of shenanigans, a lot of comedy.
We're also going to see some mist.
You're definitely going to see mist. This hands the that's where I'll bet you. You're going to see fucking mist. You think Castle gets the mist?
You know what? I think that's a safe bet.
Dalton Castle eating some mist here. Okay. All right. Yeah, listen. None of these matches sound terrible, Colin. As a matter of fact, there's enough spice and enough difference and enough.
They're very fire pro.
Yeah, that's what. Yeah, very fire pro. Yeah, I would agree with that. All right. What else we got?
We have a tag match between War Machine and G.O.D.
War Machine and G.O.D.
That could be okay. That has potential. I mean, I don't think
we're looking at a brawl. I don't think there's going to be much mat work.
It's not as interesting as their match with the Young Bucks, certainly. But
right.
this could be a 3-star G.O.D. match.
Yeah.
Sure. Hey, War Machine's a good tag team.
They are. I like them a lot. I like what they bring.
Not so much what G.O.D. brings.
This is one of those. It could go good or it could go south, and I don't think there's going to be much middle ground.
By the way, this is like these shows are the return of the Bullet Club for all intents and purposes.
Yeah, yeah. It's weird how it's all falling back on these Ring of Honor shows too. I mean, you look at Ring of Honor, and it's like Cole, Cody Rhodes, Adam Page.
Cole might be on his way out, by the way. His contract's up soon.
There's a lot of guys that are like that, man.
And Cole's a guy who, I mean, really is tailor-made for the Evil Empire.
Orlando. Yeah, the Orlando territory.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Not going to lie. I think he's on his way out. Colin, I said before, I mean, lots of people. I don't even think there's any secret. I don't think this is any secret. I don't think there's a lot of guys that are thrilled with being Ring of Honor. I mean, look, I mean, I'm just saying. I mean, look at all the people who've jumped ship.
Our own Kevin Kelly.
Our own? Guy doesn't even know we're alive anymore. One, Nigel McGuinness.
Yep, Nigel is in Orlando.
Dennis Carluzzo's favorite, Steve Corino.
Yep, Corino, trainer at the Orlando facility.
Yeah. ACH hadn't signed. He hadn't re-signed anything.
ACH is a guy who should be in the best of the Super Juniors.
I hope so. I hope we see him. Good guy. Elgin, I mean, Elgin publicly tweets, I am no longer being associated with Ring of Honor. And he's doing Evolve. Donovan Dijak, Evolve, because that's pretty much a gateway toward NXT, let's be honest. Roddy Strong.
Yep.
Look.
Roddy's in NXT.
Kyle O'Reilly.
It was funny, too, when I watched that last NXT TakeOver show, when Roderick Strong came out, and I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot.
Yeah, he had a good match, too.
Yeah, he did.
He had a real good match. Was that TJ Perkins, was it, did he wrestle? Who did he wrestle on that show?
You know, I can't even remember for the life of me, but.
I do remember it being a good match.
Well, it's Roddy.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of people that aren't around.
Do you think that Evolve has more stock than ROH does at this point?
Behind the scenes? Yeah.
I think so, too.
Yeah, they're working. I mean, listen, I don't know what kind of relationship it is, to be 100% truthful, but you know that they have a relationship with Hunter and...
As far as like...
Uncle Paul or whatever, you know, Steve Regal's always at these goddamn shows.
You know, I'm not even talking about that necessarily. I'm talking about like indie match quality. Like, are they the new what's the word I'm looking for?
Are they the hot indie promotion?
Yeah. Is Evolve the hot indie promotion? Are they ahead of ROH in that regard?
Some people would say.
I think it's looking that way.
They. People would rather work there, it seems like. I always look forward to their WrestleMania shows. You know, that week, they always have good shows. I think Gorilla kind of sets the bar.
They're in like a separate class, though.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I kind of agree. Yeah, I mean, I think Evolve Evolve needs is, and I put this in air quotes again, real TV, right? All they need is real TV. And I know they're on with a Fight Network, or they're on
the Fight app, I believe.
Yeah, I don't know. There's just so many of them at this point, I don't fucking know. Look, an argument can be made, and I think a legitimate argument can be made at this point.
Well,
that they are the place to be. If you're looking to...
The place to be if you want to go to the E.
There you go. You should be in marketing. All right. Very good.
All right. So, yeah, Hanson and Rowe versus G.O.D. Could be interesting. Six-man tag here. Juice Robinson, Tanahashi, and Jay Lethal taking on Hangman Page, Yujiro, and Bad Luck Fale. Can we let Juice, get the win over Yujiro? Would that really hurt anyone?
Nope. And that's what they should do. That's exactly what they should do. Period. That's what they should do. I can't believe that they are so high on this card. What does that tell you about where we are with this Ring of Honor stuff? Okay. I don't know. I mean, do you think this relationship moves any further?
I'm going to say it again. One of our Q&A. One of our questions that came in is kind of asking about that.
Okay. So, all right. Well, we'll cover that base. God damn. You guys are good. You guys are sharp.
Hey, they submitted a lot of questions. I mean, there's no way we're going to get to all of them, but we're going to touch upon as many as we can. So let's get through this card here.
All right, hurry up.
For the never open weight title, Goto versus Punisher Martinez.
What?
Yeah.
Wow. They really are going for the moose.
They are. They've...
How many? Let me ask you a question, flat out, and I'll be honest too. How many Punisher Martinez matches have you watched,
dude?
Have I
seen one?
Even? I think I'm just like, where did this come from? Okay, Punisher Martinez.
The name is pretty fresh to me. Let's put it that way.
Against Goto in a singles match
for the never open weight title.
Ring of Honor is putting a jetpack to this guy. Wow. That is unbelievable. Woo. singles match in Corkin Hall for the NEVER title.
That's right.
Oh, goodness gracious. That's an amazing statement right there. Woo-wee. Wow. Wow. I'm in shock. That's that's
Are you looking
crazy.
Forward to this match?
I don't know. I've never seen the fucking guy.
Well, I guess we'll see him.
Yeah, we'll go to find out. Okay. Goto, singles match. How many fucking guys would kill for that spot?
A lot.
Yeah.
A lot.
Okay.
And it's going to Punisher Martinez. So there you
Punisher
go.
Punisher Martinez. Listen, I can't even shit on the guy. I don't know. I literally don't know.
He could be the best wrestler in the world, for all I know.
Look, my hands are in the air. We're going to find out. We're going to find out.
All right. All right. For the ROH world title, Yoshihashi challenging Adam Cole. Look, we know what's going to happen here. Adam Cole retains this. I'm sure this will be a fine match, but again, what does this all mean? I mean, and it's the same deal as last year. We saw Jay Lethal defend against Honma, I believe. And Damon, can you remember that match?
No.
Exactly. And you're not going to remember this match a year from now either.
I mean, listen.
Watch it be like 5 stars. And
I know, right. Look, it is what it is, Colin. It's a win for Adam Cole. It's Yoshihashi in the main event, which, again, it could be a good, very good match. I'm not saying it's not going to be, but I don't think that I'd be hard pressed to find an individual that's going to wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning to see Yoshihashi against Adam Cole. I'm just me. I think it's going to be a few and far between. Let's put it that way. Few and far between.
Now
it is
this main event looks very, very sexy on paper. And
I thought that was the main event. That's not the main event.
No, that's not the main event, and for good reason, I think.
Okay.
The main event is an 8-man tag featuring Will Ospreay, Okada, and the Briscoes taking on the Young Bucks, Cody, and Kenny Omega.
Wow.
Now, here's the thing. If this match was in front of a North American audience on like an ROH show, a PWG show, it would be off the charts.
I'm going to make a sound, Colin. You know what that is? Tapping against the microphone?
What's that?
That's my front row ticket for Ring of Honor New Japan come May. I want to see that match.
Yeah. Right?
I want to see that match. I hard camera, front row. I'm right there. Right there, Colin. I'm going to bring a PureCast sign. What do you think of that?
That's a TV taping, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, if you bring a PureCast sign.
I'm not bringing a PureCast.
Somebody should bring a PureCast sign. I'm going to have one at Mania, for real.
Oh, you really?
Yep.
Oh, you're a good egg. I know. Somebody bring a PureCast. We know what we got. I had a dream that we made t-shirts. We got to make t-shirts. Why don't we have t-shirts? Can somebody make us t-shirts?
With our logo. You know what? I bet you we can. Those PureCast shirts, they'd be like Young Bucks level merch. They'd be just flying off the. We need our own pro wrestling tees shop.
Now you're talking. Here's what we need. We need some good designs. We need some good designs.
We do.
We need some talented Photoshop people.
If you're a graphic artist and you're listening to this right now and you want to help the PureCast, you know, feel free to send us some stuff. You know,
well, I'll pay for some stuff.
Yeah,
like I will pay people to make me something cool. If you're a listener, listen. If you're good with the shop, if you're good with the illustrator, come on, get a hold of us. Make some money on the side. Get your you'll be on a you'll be famous. You won't be famous, but all right. Where are we? That's a good match, man.
Yeah,
that's a solid match. That's gonna be a good close to these shows.
That's an exciting main event, as Uncle Paul once said. I'm standing at an 8.
Look, I wish they would have that in Philly. That would be a great show. That's a nice main event. It's going to be a train wreck fun. These two shows aren't bad, Colin. These two shows aren't bad. There's a lot of weirdness that makes it exciting. There are matches that have me scratching my head, but there's enough in there to keep us, I think, everybody interested. It's going to be a struggle for them. What do you think? Do you think Corkin sells out? Corkin sells out, right? You think Corkin sells out?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Why not?
You think so? Yeah, why not? Why not? I hope it does.
Watch it be a record low attendance.
I know. Dave,
I hope not.
The end of New Japan is here.
Yep. Next Observer.
Right. All right. So there you go. There's Honor Rising shows.
Yeah, those
all
are
right.
Your Honor Rising shows. Those are your Togi Makabe anniversary show. And of course, just one last thing here. We do have Okada versus Tiger Mask W coming up. That's going to be Monday, March 6th at the big 45th anniversary show. So I'm sure
we're
all looking forward to that.
Yep. We will be watching that with bated breath. Can't wait.
All right. So there we go. And what do you say we close out the show with a little listener Q&A? That's always fun.
All right. I'm a little scared, but all right, let's do it.
Don't be scared. What do you say we start out with a wacky question from Facebook?
All right, let's do Facebook wacky.
A fun question from our buddy Jay. We're going to play F, Marry, Kill. So
Listen. Full disclosure, I did actually see this. Okay, so go ahead. Who are the combatants here that I'm marrying, having intercourse with? Coitus and what am I killing the other one?
Yeah, killing. Okay, so our choices
everybody
are.
Everybody knows this game. All right.
Bone Soldier.
I'm rating this down, by the way. Okay, good. Bone Soldier.
Yoshitatsu.
Yoshitatsu debuted in Mexico.
Yeah, I saw.
Did you watch it?
Well, no, I didn't see. I saw the photos.
Yeah, I watched 10 minutes of it. I watched 10 minutes of introductions and then 3 minutes of match. It wasn't anything to write home about. He had this white. He had half his face painted white.
Huh.
He needs more peyote.
So Bone Soldier, Yoshitatsu, and Yujiro Takahashi. And Damon, when I saw this question, this was a no-brainer for me. I knew immediately.
All right, so I actually thought about this because I remember like brushing my teeth and how you just randomly think of things, and this question came up in my head, and I was actually contemplating this. All right, so I actually put some thought into this, kids. Unbelievable. All right, well, here's the thing. Like, everybody's going to say, I'm gonna fuck Takahashi, right?
Mm-hmm.
With the idea that somehow you're going to be involved in some wacky shenanigan orgy with his girls.
I didn't
right?
think of that at all, actually.
Really? Because that's where I think everybody's going with this.
No.
And there's no guarantee that's going to happen, right? There's no guarantee that all these girls are just going to hop on in and away we go, right?
Takahashi's a very selfish guy.
He seems like a gentle lover. I'm going to go. I can't believe I'm actually like, what am I thinking of? Who fucking cares?
This is very important.
Sexy time with Takahashi. Why not?
Okay.
I'm going to marry Yoshitatsu because he seems very loyal.
Exactly.
And he seems like a guy who has been through some hard times.
Level-headed.
Level-headed and a fighting spirit. So I like that.
You're not going to have to worry about him like going behind your back.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, he seems like a, you know, somebody I can trust. Bone Soldier doesn't seem like one of those guys I can trust. Nor am I going to have sexual relationships with a gentleman with that kind of fucking mask and cargo pants. That ain't happening. All right? So I'm killing the bone. All right? So there you go. Killing bone. I can't believe it. And marrying Yoshitatsu. We're going to have sexy time with Takahashi.
My choice is exactly.
All right, but here's the thing. I do have some caveats. I do have some. One, I need that seductive sax being played.
That needs to come back in the worst way.
It really does. It really does. I miss it. So I need seductive sax in the background for me to get in the mood, if you will, and then we can go from there. All right, this question's ridiculous. All right, what else we got? Are all these questions like this, Colin?
No, that was just a fun question I wanted to start off with. How about a serious question from Twitter? And this one comes from Eric Jones, and he asks, do you think Hirooki Goto will ever win the IWGP title? And if so, when?
God, when?
Well, here's the thing.
Not this year.
No, not this year. And it's like, you could do it, but we've said it before. Hirooki Goto isn't there.
If they were going to do it, Colin, they would have done it already.
Right, right. If it were to happen, and I could say the same thing for Shibata. If it's going to happen, it'll be a very short run. Neither of those guys are someone who you're going to put at the forefront of your company. Like, they're compared to the likes of your Okadas, your Omegas, your Naitos. They're not stars.
Yeah, we're past the point. I hate to say it. We've moved on from that. Unless something drastically happens that changes that momentum. And I'm talking something like outside of pro wrestling where Hirooki Goto becomes super hot for like saving somebody in a fire. I'm serious. I'm going that level.
Saving
that,
a kitten from a tree.
Right. Something, you know, whatever. You know, he thwarts a terrorist plot to blow up the Tokyo Dome.
He defeats ISIS.
right.
Single-handedly.
Right. Single-handedly.
GTR is for all the ISIS members.
Right. I just see people in ski masks and bodies flying everywhere. Going just plowing through everybody. Unless something like that happens there, I can't say it. I think we're past that point. So to answer the who is it? Mr. Jones? Eric Jones?
Yep, that is right. Eric Jones.
I don't see this happening, period. I don't see it happen.
Alrighty, let's jump back to Facebook here. And again, I apologize. We're not going to be able to get to all of these questions, ladies and gentlemen. But what do we got here? Oh, this one comes from Sandy Williamson. Who is the most underrated talent on the NJPW roster? I'm voting...
Kevin Kelly.
I'm voting for Ishii. I think I'd vote for Ishii as well, especially now since he's floundering in tag team hell with Yano.
Yeah. But he's always in that. You know what I mean? Like, he's always
your unsung hero.
Yeah, he's always going to be that way until he gets really recognized for...
Until he gets that fucking title shot.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm going to go a little lower.
Okay.
So I'm thinking of a guy who might lose more than he wins, might not get recognized for the talent that he is. But I think we'll change. I'm going to say Sonata.
You know what? That's an excellent choice, because Sonata is a guy, to me, who you can, you know, you can almost
talk about a guy that's floundering around in six mans.
Yeah, you could build a company around this guy almost. You can make him on the level of Okada, given enough time and given enough seasoning.
Feels like it. Right, feels like it, and we've always said that to us, he's a guy that you could groom for being an anchor, you know, being a key figure.
Damon, if I was going to design a sports entertainer from the ground up, it would look like Seiya Sonata.
Yeah. So I would say he's probably one of my underappreciated guys. And again, we talk about Ishii being lost in the tag mix. It feels like that's Sonata. You know, he's, you know, you look forward to G1. This is one of those reasons why you look forward to the grass turning green here in the northern hemisphere. You look forward to the days getting longer and the summer months. That means G1. It means singles matches, and it means that people who, again, kind of lost in the tag shuffle get a little singles spotlight. I like that.
Mateus from Facebook asks, do you see Michael Elgin getting a higher position on the card?
Well, I mean, he's a guy that you can lean on to headline. Again, I don't want to say smaller big shows, right?
I think he's talking, possible IWGP heavyweight title contendership.
I think you'll see him in matches. I don't know if you give him a belt. He has the talent, right?
And he's still very young.
Still very young.
Not this year.
Look, I like the idea of a very, very, very select few being the world champion. I'm not a huge fan of the world championship being tossed around like it's the never six-man belts. I like the fact that there is a very select few individuals worthy enough to be champion. And again, if I'm just going right out of the gate, just Michael Elgin, IWGP heavyweight champion, I'm going no. And I think the way I feel. Great, awesome talent. Obviously can perform at the highest level.
Just had a five-star match with Naito.
Just had a five-star match, and again, he's had many great matches in the G1. Do I see him as an IWGP heavyweight champion? I'm going to have to go no. Because, and again, it's kind of like, you know, how people vote in the Hall of Fame for any sport. Some people are a little bit more willy-nilly. Some people are a little bit more. I'm a hard judger, and I like the fact that it feels to me the New Japan's that way as well. Not everybody's going to be a world champion. I'm okay with that. Not only okay with that, I think that's important. It makes it more special. It makes that achievement that much more grand. It means holding that belt means it's a little bit more special.
Yeah, I think Elgin's a great performer. We saw that last week. I see him having more great matches in 2017, but this year isn't the year where he's going to, you know, reach that pinnacle. We're still a little ways off from that. But, hey, it could. Who knows what 2018 holds?
Yeah, I, again, gun to my head, I'm saying no.
I like this question right here from Twitter. This comes from Steve.
Just Steve? How do you get that name? What are you, the first person on Twitter? I mean, seriously, how do you get Steve?
No. I'm just reading everyone's like first name here because I don't want to butcher anyone's last name. And
that's true.
You know how that goes. So Steve on Twitter asks, with Archer out of action, can you envision Davey Boy Smith Jr. with either the NEVER or IWGP IC title? And
never.
Yeah, I think we talked about this last week or the week before that. Davey Boy Smith Jr. to me is super underrated talent. I mean, if you go back and you watch a lot of those matches he had in the 2014 G1, especially the match he had with Tanahashi, which I thought was excellent. You can absolutely throw him in that NEVER open weight title picture. I think that he fits what that title was created for. You know, younger guys, rising stars. So, absolutely, I would love to see him kind of move away from tagging with Iizuka and, you know, have a prominent singles run in New Japan.
Right. He's got the time. It's not like Archer's coming back next week from his injury. He's going to be on the shelf for a while, unfortunately. Let's do that. I would. I'm fine with that. I don't want to sit here and repeat everything you said, but I agree with everything you said. It's. I think he's a perfect fit for that.
Sam from Facebook asks, who do you think is going to win the New Japan Cup this year, and why is it Shibata?
It's not Shibata. I don't think it's Shibata.
Look, the first answer that pops to mind is Omega.
It does. It's the first. All right. So that's everyone's kind of.
I'm still going.
Give me a dark horse. Give me a dark horse.
A dark horse. Well,
give me a dark horse, Colin.
I need to see a list here in front of me. So
I'll give you my dark horse. I got a dark horse.
Well, first of all, we know that the heavyweight champion, the NEVER champion, and the IC champion will not be involved in this. So Naito's out of the question.
Right.
Who's the NEVER champion? Goto's out of the question.
Right.
And Okada's out of the question.
Yep.
So give me your dark horse.
Juice Robinson.
You know what? That would actually be... That would kind of be fresh. And believe it or not, I did think about this the other day. Because it would be nice to see someone, you know, challenge for the NEVER title. Use the New Japan Cup to go after the NEVER title. Why not?
Why not? Right? So maybe Juice. What do you think about a Suzuki?
No.
That could lead to your Okada. Match.
Yeah, that's true, but they could do that anyway, and they could have Juice win the New Japan Cup, move him up the card, establish him as a more...
But they're going to do the NEVER title anyway, eventually, right? Like, Juice is already pointing fingers and throwing...
Right, but it would be
Goto
cool.
Over the top rope.
It would be cool to really see him earn that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I really like that idea. I like that idea a lot. I'm with you.
Okay. That's a dark horse. Again, I think Omega is your odds on, but I think Juice is a nice little dark horse. All right. Good. What else we got?
Here's another question that we kind of alluded to earlier with this TNA Noah relationship. Given that Josh Barnett handles voiceovers for NJPW on Access TV, will this be affected by his working with TNA now that they're affiliated with Pro Wrestling Noah? And that question comes from Dave on Facebook.
I don't know for sure. I can't sit here and tell you yes or no. I don't know exactly how the relationship is with the Access TV and New Japan's relationship and TV, Asahi.
I don't think it's going to affect them at all.
Well, it is a little weird. I'm going to be truthful. I don't even think half the people at New Japan know that there's a TV show on Access.
That's what I'm saying. They have such limited interactions with
I don't think it's TV. I don't know the whole entire relationship there. So I just think it's weird that they have multiple English announced teams. You know, like there has to be there is some weirdness there, don't you think? And again, I don't know if there is or there isn't. I'm just, to me, it's a weird situation. Again, please let me make that clear. To me, it is a weird situation to have Josh Barnett, Jim Ross on one side, and an actual English team of Kevin Kelly and who was it, Cyrus?
Don Callis.
Yeah, isn't that weird? Isn't it weird that there's two I don't want to say competing English broadcast things going on at the same time? Nobody thinks that's weird. I think it's weird.
And if New Japan's relationship with Access TV was that close knit, wouldn't it make sense to just have those commentators do the commentary, you know, for the big shows on NJPW World?
Right.
And then they could just use, you know, the commentary is already done. They can show that on Access TV then down the line.
Why is somebody going on Access TV and hearing Jim Ross and going on New Japan World and hearing Kevin Kelly? Right.
Right.
It's confusing. if it were the same promotion, right? Or if there was the same factors that were involved. And to me, that doesn't sound like that it is. It feels like they're separate entities. So, no, I probably don't think that there's going to be any problem with Josh Barnett doing anything for Noah. And if he does or if he doesn't, it's not going to matter in the long run, because I really don't feel like their working relationship with Access has anything – I don't want to say it has anything to do with New Japan, but a lot to do with New Japan.
How about one more Facebook question from Jason Thompson? He's asking us, who are the three best candidates to win the G1 that aren't the obvious, in parentheses, Okada, Omega, Naito, etc.?
Well, again, keep in mind what the G1 is there for. To me, the G1 finals is not there to make new stars. Even though, in essence, it kind of did last year with Omega. So maybe I'm talking at my hiney hole.
He was made into a superstar way before that, though, against Tanahashi.
Yeah, I mean, but again, when we talk about Omega, it was the jetpack was strapped on G1 and on. It was, you know, let's put it this way. Nobody expected Omega to win. I take that back. Somebody did, because somebody picked him in the Voices of Wrestling pool.
We didn't.
We certainly didn't.
We went with Naito. Right,
so I did go with Naito. Who's winning this thing? Who can't I pick, you said?
So you can't pick Okada, Omega, or Naito. Mm-hmm. Besides those three, which, I mean, I don't want to say I hate to say it, but one of those three is going to win the G1.
Right. I'm so honestly, me picking anybody, I can't put much thought into it. Because
how about Tomohiro Ishii, and that's how he gets his title match against Okada? There's my pick.
At the Dome?
Yeah, sure. We're having fun with this.
We really are. That's not happening.
No, it's not happening. But if you're gonna ask me, like, who's one of the best besides like the top three guys? Ishii. He's pissed off because he didn't get his title match that he earned last year. So he's going full throttle in this G1. Right. And he's just going to chop the shit out of everyone.
Right. And I'm going to say Dalton Castle.
You know what? If they put him in the... I mean, I'm all for that. Mm. Dalton Castle in the G1.
Okay. That's what I'll go with. I'll go with Dalton Castle. How about that?
All right. There you go.
There was one question I saw on there. Guilty pleasure.
Somebody
said, what's your guilty pleasure?
Yeah, in wrestling, I guess, in general.
And I did see that.
That was from Aaron Hobart.
Well, Aaron, it's funny that you should say that, because I was thinking actually of that last night, because I was just, you know how you just get into a maze or a
rabbit
black
hole.
Yeah, a rabbit hole. And I wound up on, and this would be absolutely my guilty pleasure. You know, like musically, I have guilty pleasures.
Me too.
Like Poison. Like I love Poison.
I love Blink-182.
Really?
Yeah.
That's funny. I like Blink-182 does a song, My Girlfriend. It's an older song that they did.
My Girlfriend.
I like My Girlfriend. It's a very punky song. It's
It's Josie. It's called Josie. It's from the Dude Ranch album from 1997, Damon.
Yeah, I think you might be right. Is that Josie?
Yeah,
My
Josie.
Girlfriend.
Yep. Brings me tacos from Sombreros.
Yes. That's what I'm talking about. Good. Yeah.
Got to see them live with the original lineup, thank God.
Is that right?
Yep, with Tom DeLonge on lead vocals.
Wow. And Simon Le Bon.
Right.
And Morrissey. What were we talking? Oh, guilty pleasure.
Yeah.
So again, everybody has them. So I'm in this rabbit hole. My guilty pleasure in all of pro wrestling, and every time I see it, I swear to you, Colin, I just smile, and I don't. And it just brings me back. Is, and again, this is a New Japan podcast, but we're gonna go here. When the WWE did Land of a Thousand Dances.
What year is that from?
Oh, God. It was the 80s. It was like 84, 85. They did their first wrestling album, and they did Land of a Thousand Dances. You know that song, Land of a Thousand Dances. You got to know how to pony. Like pony. So it's all those wrestlers. So the heels are on one side, right? The faces are on the other. It's everybody in the roster, and they're all singing the song, and Cyndi Lauper is miming, playing guitar in this cute little black wig. And Piper's in it, and Don Morocco's in it, and Bobby Heenan's in it, and Jesse Ventura's in it, and they go back and forth. So like the faces do, you gotta know how to pony, and then Don Morocco, like Boney Maroney, and then they would go to Vince, who would go some, you know, and
I've
Jimmy Hart.
I've gotta see this.
You've never seen this?
No.
Google that fucking YouTube that right now. Oh, it is it, and every time I watch it, Colin, I just smile. It is the goofiest, greatest thing ever. The greatest thing ever in this video. So there's this one shot, and it's like a musical interlude in it, right? So it's, you know, it's just the boom, chicka bum bum, chicka bum, chicka dun dun dun, and everybody's clapping, right? So everybody's kind of overhead clapping, and they do a pan shot. And they're going through all the faces, right? So it's like Barry Windham and Mike Rotundo are clapping, and Brutus Beefcake are clapping. Everybody's clapping. And then they get the shot of Paul Orndorff, and he's doing to the beat, kissing his biceps. Right? It is fucking fantastic. I can't believe you never saw this.
No, I need to look that one up. I'll just give you mine really quick. Since we're going the musical route, I still have a copy somewhere on VHS of Pile Driver, the music video. And I still love, if you only knew what I'm going to do to you.
Yeah.
You'll be running out of here as fast as 2 feet could carry you.
Yes. So that was the second album. The first album had Land of a Thousand Dances. It had... It had Junkyard Dogs Grab Them Cakes, right? Right? I can't believe you, Colin, you, I've made your day because you're going to listen to this and your head's going to explode. My second guilty pleasure right now is Ricky Choshu's theme music, which is, it is like just the cheesiest synth poppy, you know how New Japan loves their instrumentally, you know, and even All Japan, they love their instrumental.
Sure.
It's almost like, again, everything sounds just so dated. This is no exception. Ricky Choshu's theme, look it up. It is synth pop heaven. I'm obsessed with it right now. So those are my two guilty pleasures.
All right. Two more Twitter questions.
Oh, my God. All right. There we go.
From one's a goofy one. One's a serious question from our pal Adrian Gaskin. And the first one, the goofy one, has nothing to do with pro wrestling. And I did answer it on Twitter. But he asks, Colin, have you seen the Sports Illustrated spread of Ashley Graham reviews?
And I don't know who Ashley Graham is.
Oh, Damon. Ashley Graham. Look her up.
All right,
she's...
I carry the show.
She is quite the woman. I'm not sure if she'd be up your alley, but
I'm going to Google.
Check out her latest.
Ashley Graham.
Ashley Graham. Yeah. And I replied to this on Twitter. I said it is the Omega versus Okada of swimsuit spread. Six stars.
Alrighty, let's see what we got here. Oh, yeah, she's very attractive. Hey, she's very curvy.
Yeah, that's...
I dig it. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. Okay. Well, she's the... Sports Illustrated swimsuit?
Yeah.
Cover girl?
She was on the cover last year. This year, she just has a spread. I believe that Kate Upton is on the cover this year. I can't believe we're talking about this.
Yeah, she's very attractive. Very nice. Nice looking woman there.
There you go.
Good for her. All right, so that's one. What was his follow-up?
And, okay, he asked a bunch of questions, but the one that I like, the serious one, rebuild the tag division. What teams or combo would you want to see in it? Look, this is so simple if they want to rebuild the tag division. Just merge them together. And we had an example on one of these Ring of Honor cards, like War Machine versus the Young Bucks. There you go. You could have Roppongi Vice versus
Goto and then Yano. Well, maybe not that, but yeah.
You know, Roppongi Vice versus G.O.D.
Right.
Let's just throw that out there. That's all you have to do. Just merge them together. You don't really have to create any new teams per se. Just end this ridiculous, dated notion of, oh, we have to have a junior tag division and a heavyweight tag division. Like, it's all it is it's hurting your tag division. That's what it's doing.
I agree 100%. I mean, we've said it every week. This podcast has been in production. No need to rehash. I agree 100%.
You want to do any more Twitter questions?
One more? Yeah, one more Twitter. I feel like I'm at a Trump press conference. All right, one more from the Twitter. Make it a good one. Make it a good question.
All right, let's see here.
No fake wrestling news.
From Paul Whitmore.
Oh, I know Paul. Yeah.
Who do you think will make the biggest jump up the card this year?
Juice. I think Juice Robinson.
That was my answer as well.
Yeah, I think this is a year. And this is a year where he can really make some waves. I think that's what we're looking at. Juice.
Yep.
That's my answer.
Yep,
that was an easy one.
2017 will be the year of the juice.
All right. And then now what do we got? Last Facebook. Give me one more Facebook.
One more Facebook question. Let's see what we got here. I'm looking through all of them.
I saw one about death matches.
Oh.
Death matches?
Do you want to do another goofy question?
I'll do a goofy question. Sure.
All right. This comes from Gene.
Let me just address the death match one first, right?
Yeah, it comes from Gene Spaulding. This is the goofy one.
Spaulding?
could we be seeing death matches in the future between Colin and Damon?
Well, yes. Let me ask you this. For how much money would it take if I offered you $2,000, Colin?
Okay.
Light tube death match. Would you do it?
Only if I get to smash a light tube over your cranium.
You would, but you're taking one too.
Oh, boy. I mean,
$2,000.
Look, the last thing I need in my life is a concussion right now.
You're gonna get shards of glass in your forehead.
No. I wouldn't do it.
$2,500.
No.
Colin, $2,500.
To get a light tube smashed over my head and risk getting glass in my eyes.
Well, listen, close your eyes, right?
This sounds like a... we're in like an alley somewhere.
Yeah. Psst, hey, mister. There's going to be a box. I need you to get in this and a hole. just close your eyes, Colin. It'll be over soon. $2,500. I get to smash one light tube. You could smash me. Right?
Okay.
But you're taking one. You're taking one. $2,500. And I'm making it good. We're making it good.
Would this be on video? Would we record this?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Okay. Cork and Hall.
Okay. Well, I mean, it would make for entertaining footage.
Look.
For the show.
I mean, listen, what we do for free, for crying out loud.
Right.
You're doing it, right?
I'm doing it. Okay. Light tube the head, over the noggin.
All right. Now, the question was, he wants to know death matches in New Japan, right?
Yeah, I think that's what he was alluding to first. Okay. I'm completely against that. I have no room in my wrestling watching life for such shenanigans.
Yeah. Well, I mean, listen, I think there's a place and a time for it. Listen, let's get off our high horse here too with this New Japan being pure and innocent when it comes to these death matches. They've had a few, right? They had their exploding barbed wire match with Onita and Masahiro Chono.
Never saw it.
At the Dome. And listen, they're like all the others.
I know of it, but I never saw it.
All right. And then Muda had his match with Onita as well. So they had more than one of their exploding barbed wire death matches. So, and again, it's Onita. So, those are the matches that he made famous in the 90s. Would we see this again? I can't say never say never. I don't see it, to be truthful. I don't see the need for it. I don't see how there would have to be a absolute a feud of the century for me to be able to swallow that. Like, again, it would have to be like Goto versus ISIS.
Right.
Right. For me to be like, okay, I'm okay with this. Because here's the problem. They're never good. Big Japan does have entertaining. They've got that down. They can have entertaining death matches. I'm not a big fan of the death match to begin with, but I can't sit here and say that you can't have a entertaining pro wrestling match incorporating all that. You can. I don't think you need it for New Japan. I just don't see the need for it. So to answer the question, they've had it. They had it in big spots, in big venues. The matches weren't that great. Will they have them again? I can't imagine seeing it, to be truthful.
One more very quick question from Twitter, and I'm kind of gonna adjust this question. This comes from Chappin, and he says, "Fantasy book the Wrestle Kingdom 12 card." Well, I'll give you my main event. Mm-hmm. Here's my fantasy main event for Wrestle Kingdom 12. It is Kenny Omega defending the IWGP Heavyweight title against Kota Ibushi.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Here's my main event.
Mine is Colin versus Damon late tube death match.
Do you think that would...
That's selling out the place. We're doing 60.
60,000 people in the Tokyo Dome.
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
All PuroCast listeners.
Trust me, we don't have 1/16 of that. I don't know.
I know what you want.
What do I want?
You want...
Tell me what I want. Tell me what I really, really want.
My favorite was Scary Spice, by the way.
I was a Ginger Spice guy.
Okay, hey, I can go either way. You want Omega versus Okada? Let's face it.
I mean, who doesn't?
It's for selfish reasons, though, because you're going to be there again.
I am going to be there again. Yeah, it's already in the works.
Jesus.
By the way, London's been moved. Anybody cares? London's been moved to October.
Nobody
early
cares,
October. So, just in case anybody needs to keep track of me, early October. All right. Yeah. I want to see that again. Don't you?
I want to see it at Dominion.
Dude, I want to see it fucking every Tuesday. Are you kidding me?
All right. Hey, you can do it at Wrestle Kingdom as well. You can make it a trilogy. You can do the trilogy right in 1 year.
Listen, I again was always under. I wanted it just at the Dome. I know we had the whole show about it, and then we had the little scare of Kenny Omega, and maybe it scared me into. Let me just see it now.
I think we're gonna have that again in a year.
That's everyone's fear. We'll see. Let's see what happens. We can't get into that right now. I'm tired of talking about that. But
that's my fantasy main event, though.
It's not bad. It's not a bad main event. I'm okay with that. I think you're either seeing Omega Okada or you're seeing Okada Naito.
Hey, Okada Naito, that's probably my number two choice.
Yeah, you're seeing one of those two headline the Dome next year. I don't think there's any question about that. All right, that was good. That was fun.
Yeah,
we survived.
Always fun to have a little Q&A session. Haven't done that in a while. And again, we got so many questions, guys. I apologize if I did not get to your question, but hey, we'll do another one of these again real soon, I promise. And that about wraps up today's show, Damon.
Thank God, I'm tired.
Wow, I could go for some meat and potatoes right now.
I've been chewing on a pretzel the whole fucking time. Like, you would make a point, and I'd be like shoving it in my mouth real quick.
I can hear you gnawing away.
Really?
Like a woodchuck.
Oh, I hope not. That's terrible. No, they're soft Philly pretzel, soft pretzel.
I assumed.
All right, very good. Lots of carbs. All right, wrap up this hootenanny.
All right, so once again, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for submitting all of your questions. We will do this again, and thank you for listening each and every week. Remember, NewJapanPuroCast.com, your one-stop shop. Listen to each and every brand new episode as it is uploaded. Also, links to social media on there, Facebook, Twitter, Stitcher, iTunes, and you can go to VoicesOfWrestling.com. We're usually up on their feed every Monday afternoon. And, of course, they have a plethora of great professional wrestling podcasts for whatever your taste may be. So, Damon, final thoughts.
This pretzel is delicious. That's my final thought. And by potpourri.
Right. There you go. So, on that note, for Damon McDonald, my name is Colin Miller. We'll catch you guys down the road. Later.